ABC Radio Australia.
Well, the Pacific Islands are often seen as places with idyllic lagoons and safe places to splash around in the sunshine. But the truth isn't quite so simple, with more than half of the world's drownings happening in the Western Pacific region. That does include Pacific countries, but also Asian nations such as Vietnam, Cambodia, and also even Australia. As Nick Fogarty reports, this is although a fact that Pacific governments and NGOs are waking up to now, with a new program in Niue, for example, that's aimed at safeguarding children from disaster.
Pacific Island nations, as well as many in Asia, are places that are sometimes more water than land. Archipelagos where people can spend large amounts of time travelling between islands to visit family and work. Children grow up around the water and are aware of it from a very young age. Yet still 60% of the world's drownings happen in what the World Health Organization designates as the Western Pacific and Southeast Asian regions. Dr. David Meddings coordinates the WHO's Global Work on Drowning and says the severity of the situation in these regions has forced the group's researchers to sharpen their focus even more.
And it's one of the reasons why WHO is currently undertaking a bi-regional status report on drowning within the Western Pacific region and the Southeast Asia region. It's the first time we've ever done that, and we have focused on those two regions because of the very high rates of drowning.
The WHO's research shows that the unique way of life in the Pacific Islands, with lots of inter-island travel on unseaworthy boats, is a big contributor to high drowning rates. 95 people died in a ferry disaster in Kiribati in January last year, and David Meddings says PNG provides a similar example of dangerous inter-island crossings.
A very high percentage of these inter-island voyages are taking place on 6 to 7 metre dinghies that are equipped with typically a single outboard motor and might hold anywhere from 20 to 30 individuals inside without life jackets. And they are making voyages, in some cases, of up to 400 kilometres in distance. And so swamping of those boats and their sinking is a common problem, not just in Papua New Guinea, but in other settings throughout the Pacific.
The biggest affected group, though, when it comes to drowning are children, especially those under the age of 5, with children in the Pacific being mobile from an early age and often unsupervised around water. A report from Fiji just this week told of a 2-year-old girl who had to be rescued from drowning by police, who then warned her parents to supervise her. Authorities are awake to these sorts of water risks over in Niue, where Swimming New Zealand has been tasked with running a program for primary school students. Swim teacher Chris Morgan is helping to run the program in Niue and says authorities realised that a lack of water safety knowledge among fishermen was being passed on to their children.
They are fine in the water for very short periods of time. Most of the younger kids, say up to year 4, can go under and float, but not for a good period of time. So we're concentrating on developing their skills so that they are really, really confident and competent and can stay afloat and be happy on the water for longer, just in case they did get into an emergency situation.
Chris Morgan says she's there to teach the teachers, who will then go back to their home communities to teach more kids themselves. At this stage, there are no plans to expand this particular program to other Pacific nations, but there have been inquiries.
If other islands wanted it, they've got to be committed to learning it and delivering it themselves, because it's not about us coming and doing it for them, it's about us giving them the skills to do it themselves.
World Health Organization drowning expert David Meddings says it's encouraging to see Pacific governments and NGOs are moving to address the high rates of drowning.
I would single out Fiji, Papua New Guinea, Solomon Islands as being some of the Pacific Island countries that have really begun to look at this, you know, as one of their leading killers of their population. These are cultures that are working, getting education, traveling on water all of the time, and they've begun to appreciate that you need to sort of engage with how safe that relation is with the water and do what you can to improve that.
David Meddings says that engagement with drowning risks will need to continue as climate change worsens, with warming sea temperatures sending fishermen further out into the open ocean and extreme weather events leading to more and more catastrophic floods.